Bob Crew? Middle? Hey, yes. Crew. Yeah, I'm sorry we're late, but listen, we got something for you, all right? Right now? No, just listen.
Right.
Here we go.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sherry! Have you seen the new biopic, Jersey Boys, about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons? What did you think of it? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, June 27th. We are going to talk about Jersey Boys and other biopics that are coming out this summer or are in the works, and about the genre in general. Do you like biopics, movies, biographical movies? Do you have any favorites? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Dave Lurson. He is the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how did you see Jersey Boys? Did you like it?
Yes, it was a very entertaining movie, and one of the things that I liked about this is that it reverses the trend of Broadway adapting Hollywood movies. In the old days, Hollywood adapted Broadway hits, and in Broadway in recent years, we've seen things like Spider-Man, coming from mm-hmm. Hollywood to Broadway. In this case, we had Jersey Boys, a really successful, phenomenally successful Broadway musical being turned into a Hollywood movie. So it's kind of back to the old way of doing things.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed the play, Jersey Boys. I saw it in Chicago. It played on Broadway, it's still touring around the country, making as much as $800,000 a week.
Oh, it's a phenomenal success. I'm sure that the people who conceived Jersey Boys imagined that this was a bankable idea. You have a very popular group, musical group among baby boomers, mm-hmm. really, essentially. And, the songs are familiar. Even people, who were too young to be around when they were hits on the radio, like myself, actually, I missed them by a few years, I guess. I know many of the songs. So it's a very sellable idea, and they did it very well. They found a talented cast of people and came up with a good way of presenting it on stage. And with all that being said, I think that they were probably pleasantly surprised by the phenomenal success of Jersey Boys.
Well, the movie, though, seems to have some mixed reviews. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in my review, I pointed out that really Jersey Boys, the movie, is not a musical in the traditional sense of what a musical is. I mean, you don't have people singing to each other over the dinner table or breaking out into song as they're, going to work in the morning. The hit songs and the musical parts of the movie are realistically enclosed inside the movie. I mean, when it's time for the group to perform on stage, they sing. So technically speaking, I would say it's not even really a musical. What Clint Eastwood did was to flesh out the story a little bit, to make it more of a biopic, to use a term that I really hate, that word biopic. It sounds like a bad medical
procedure
to me, more than a genre of film. But he turned it from musical into a biopic, and the problem with that, I guess, if this is a problem, is that it's very difficult to condense a complicated story in from reality into 2 hours worth of good storytelling on film. So the real Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons story is much more complicated than what we see in the movie. And does that matter a lot? I mean, I think that from what I know of the Four Seasons, that Clint Eastwood and the team of writers remain true to the spirit of what happened. And I think that's important. And they told a good story based on what happened, and I think that's important. And the musical performances were all very good, and that's really, I think, the draw for this film.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, listeners? Did you see Jersey Boys? What did you think of it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're talking about Jersey Boys and other biopics that are expected to come out this summer. And talking about biopics of the past and the future and welcoming your thoughts and questions and whether you like this genre and whether you have any favorites, whether you're anticipating the ones that are still to come out. There's going to be one in August about James Brown. There's going to be one coming out in September about Jimi Hendrix. And we welcome your thoughts on this genre in general. So what are your thoughts in general, Dave, on, I don't know if this is a lot of biopics for one summer movie season, but considered pretty popular?
It's a type of movie that has actually, you know, been around since the beginning of motion pictures. I mean, there was a biopic on Joan of Arc in 1899, for example. There were, you know, biopics on Napoleon and other, you know, historical figures during the early age of silent movies. And during the 1930s and 40s, there was a, you know, Glenn Miller biopic and John Philip Sousa, and just to name some musical people. So it's been around for a long time. And, the interest in these movies depends on the public interest in the people or the musicians in many cases that the movies are about. So, yeah, you know, if you like the Four Seasons a great deal, I think you would be curious to see a movie about them. Or if you are a James Brown fan, to refer to Get On Up, which is coming out later this summer, you'd be willing to check that out. So I think one of the things about biopics is that you know, if it's a familiar person or group of people, you have a built-in audience, which is very important in the calculus of Hollywood. And, from that point on, it kind of depends on are you meeting the expectations of the people who are interested in the subject of your movie? Are you letting them down in some way, or are you, you know, giving them the story of the Jersey Boys, for example, the way people would like to imagine it?
Yeah. And all the ones we're talking about, though, are all, they are about, musicians or musical figures. Is that an important element of a biopic?
Well, a lot of them have been on musical figures. I mean, in recent years particularly, I guess I haven't tried to tabulate this, but when I think about biopics, most of the ones that come to mind from the past couple of decades really have to do with music in some way. I mean, it could be Amadeus, for example, a biopic on Mozart.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have Coal Miner's Daughter on Loretta Lynn. That was a classic of its kind. And then you have the things like Dreamgirls, which was not a biopic of real people, but it was drawn from experiences of the Supremes and other groups of that kind from the 1960s. So is that technically a biopic? It was based on, it was fiction based loosely on what happened to real people. But, you know, you go down the list. I mean, you think of other things too. Capote, for example, with Philip Seymour Hoffman as Truman Capote. That's not a musician, obviously. So there are some other ones that have been released, non-musical biopics in recent years. But I think that most of them have been geared toward musical fandom of some kind or other.
Yeah, I have to admit the one that comes to mind to me, one of my favorites, I guess, if I have a favorite, was recent. It was the Johnny Cash one, Walk the Line.
That is universally admired as one of the better ones. I mean, there are, you know, biopics that people complain about a great deal because they alter the facts too much. I mean, based on a true story, they're the typical, you know, beginning of a Hollywood movie that has some relation to reality, supposedly. Well, what does that mean to be based on a true story? Sometimes the basis is very weak, actually. Walk the Line, you know, it really conveys the idea of Johnny Cash, I think, and the essence of Johnny Cash that most of his fans nowadays, you know, think about. So it was very successful. Ray was another good one on Ray Charles. But there have been others that have been largely forgotten, I guess, that didn't find an audience because they didn't meet these expectations.
We are talking with Dave Lurson. He is the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express, talking about biopics and focusing in some on the one that's at the theaters right now, Jersey Boys, about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Wondering if you saw that, what you thought of it, what you think about the genre in general, if you have any favorites. Are you looking forward to the ones that are coming out later this summer, the ones on James Brown and Jimi Hendrix? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So have you seen Jersey Boys about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons? Let us know what you thought about it. And let us know what you think about biopics in general, if you have any favorites from the past or ones that you are looking forward to seeing in the future. Or any questions for our guest, Dave Lurson, who is the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express in Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Richard in Two Rivers is with us. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, just it's a comment. I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
And I'm in my 50s, and I went on my first date, and her older sister and her boyfriend brought us to, it was a place called Branch Brook Lounge. It was in Newark, New Jersey. And we walked in there, and Four Seasons were playing. And Frankie Valli was up on stage only a table away from us. And it was just, sometimes you want to say, life is often greater than movies. And I look back on that, and what a great, wonderful experience.
Very cool. So did you see the play, or do you want to see the movie, Richard?
I don't know. I left Jersey when I was 20, and to me it seems like they overplay Jersey anymore on anything. And when I left when I was 20, I kind of never looked in the rearview mirror, and I've loved Wisconsin ever since. So yeah, if it's on and I can see it, I'll see it, but I'm not going to go out of my way.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to probably go out of my way. Should I go out of my way, Dave, to see it?
Well, you sound like a Four Seasons fan, right? So I think that you'll enjoy it.
Well, it's funny. I think I'm like you. It wasn't as though I was dancing with my poodle skirt on or anything when they were big. But I think I some of the songs from even listening to the Oldies Channel. I'll appreciate some of their songs. But tell us a little bit about Jersey Boys. I mean, in terms, it's just about how the group formed and their trials and tribulations.
Yeah. Essentially, that's it. It touches on a lot of interesting things that seem common in many eras of music. The members of the Four Seasons, several of them were arrested and actually did some jail time for small-scale crime in the neighborhood, and you can tie that in with the more recent, generations of rappers. I mean, there's a sense in this movie that's not stated boldly, but, there's a connection between, people of a lower socioeconomic station who look at entertainment or music as a way out of the life that they might be trapped in. And that's going on there, and I find that to be an interesting part of it. And the whole Jersey thing, I can understand what the last caller is talking about from, the Sopranos, New Jersey and crime and Italians. And there's a kind of a stereotype of it, I suppose. But I think that sometimes, stereotypes have a basis in things that happened. So, is this an accurate portrayal of New Jersey during the 1950s? I wasn't there. I can't really speak to it, but it has a sense of reality to it. It looks at some talented young people who, found a sound together. They eventually found a songwriter, and they eventually found a producer who was able to take their music and convey it to
a large audience and turned it into hits. Again, more things really happened in reality than in the movie. The road up from the streets of Jersey to international stardom had many more twists and turns than the movie would show. But then again, it's a 2-hour and 14-minute movie. You can't squeeze all of that into that time frame and tell a good story. So I don't blame the filmmakers for the way they chose certain parts and ignored others.
You know, it's interesting. I saw one local Madison reviewer do a little TV spot on Jersey Boys. He was younger. I mean, if he's 30, maybe. And he wasn't all that impressed. Do you think there's a generation gap?
Yeah, the people that I know personally who, you know, went out to see the musical when it came through the region and are most excited about the movie and are talking to me about the movie are actually people who are 5 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody. I'm more Led Zeppelin was my, you know, my coming-of-age group, not the Four Seasons. And so people my age, I haven't really heard much talk about it. I work here in the office mostly with people who are much younger than me, and I haven't heard them talking about it. So, I think it's fair to say that the primary audience for Jersey Boys are people who really grew up with this music. And it does. That's not to say that those are the only people who would enjoy this movie, because if you like a good story about the music industry and you value talent, and, you know, whether you're a fan of Frankie Valli or not, you have to admit that a great deal of talent went into what they did. It's an enjoyable, entertaining film.
We have other callers on other films. Let's go to Andrew in Roberts. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right. So a question I had, kind of along those same lines, because you were saying that you were a little more of a Led Zeppelin than a Frankie Valli fan, but anyway, I'm an enormous Bob Dylan fan, and I saw I'm Not There, you know, the
right.
Bob Dylan sort of biopic.
Sort of, yes.
And
yes.
And I think one of the things, I remember watching it, and then my brother watched it, and he's like, was Bob Dylan a young black child? Because remember how they, like,
yeah.
portray Woody Guthrie as a you know, transient musician? And, like, for me, it's like, well, that's the director's rendition of what Woody Guthrie could be. But do you think some of these biopics, you know, and I saw Hitch, and I'm a huge Hitchcock fan. I saw I'm Not There. I'm an enormous Bob Dylan fan. Do you think some of these biopics that you kind of need to have some preliminary background knowledge, some schemata, in order to better understand them? And that,
yeah.
you know, and that can kind of distract from some of them and from the effectiveness of them.
Well, I'm Not There is a great example of what you're talking about, because I think that movie would be absolutely incomprehensible to somebody who wasn't deeply into Bob Dylan, as I am. I mean, and I find that movie to be a little perplexing as far as my own, you know, opinion of it. I've seen it twice. The first time I kind of hated it. The second time I liked it a little bit more. I mean, I get what he's trying, what the director is trying to do by showing the many sides of Bob Dylan, you know, whose personality and character and persona and styles of music changed dramatically from one time to another. That's an example of a biopic that takes a great deal of artistic license on the part of the director and screenwriter. And yeah, if you don't have some understanding of Bob Dylan, I guess not just some understanding, but lots of knowledge of him, that movie would just be like, huh? I mean, I don't think that a non-Dylan fan could possibly appreciate that. On the other hand, Jersey Boys is easy. You don't really need to know anything about the Four Seasons going into it to sit back and get the point of the movie. So I think there's a kind of a spectrum from easy to complicated, with I'm Not There being on the far complicated side and Jersey Boys being something that you really don't need to know a whole lot about the group going into it.
Thanks, Andrew, for the call. Kyle in Waukesha is with us now. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. Yeah, it's a slightly different subject matter, but the long series of From the Earth to the Moon was like a long-term biopic of the different peoples and groups involved in developing the eventual Apollo program, of which several of those industries were actually here in Milwaukee.
Did you know that, Dave?
I know that there is an aerospace company located in Milwaukee, which I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's in the Walker's Point neighborhood. I've driven past it many times. So, yeah, I did know that there was some connection with the Milwaukee area and the aerospace program.
You know, we'll come back in a minute after the news, and we'll talk about the biopics that are coming out still this summer. What's the buzz on the James Brown one before we go to news?
Well, I think there's a lot of curiosity among James Brown fans. There's a very good actor, Chadwick Boseman, who played Jackie Robinson in 42. But I think more on that after the news. I have some interesting thoughts about the difficulty of pulling off James Brown on film.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that after the news. We are talking with Dave Lurson. He is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express. We're talking about some of the much-anticipated, long-awaited biographies, movie biographies of different music stars like Frankie Valli, James Brown, Jimi Hendrix, and we're welcoming your questions about the genre in general. Any favorite biopics that are on your list? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, that's my hubby's favorite James Brown song, and I'm sure he will be hauling me to the James Brown biopic Get On Up when it opens later this summer. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 7:37. We are talking about some of the summer movie biographies that are out or coming out this summer, and talking about the biopic genre in general, and welcoming your questions, welcoming your favorites. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with the arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express in Milwaukee, Dave Lurson. And we have talked quite a bit about Jersey Boys, and maybe we can revisit that with callers in as we go along. But I wanted to ask you about Get On Up. And you mentioned just before news that it's difficult for an actor to portray maybe a character who's larger than life than like James Brown.
Oh, well, I think the challenge is going to be the performance aspect of it. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen a concert movie called The Tammy Show, filmed in 1965 or 1966. It was a group of popular performers at that time in concert, one after the other. The second to last was James Brown. The headliner was the Rolling Stones. And we all know what a great performer Mick Jagger is and always has been. But Mick Jagger following James Brown, you could look at Mick Jagger's face and see, oh, my God, what am I going to do? How can I,
follow that?
The tension. And yeah, you could see him trying to be James Brown and not quite getting there. James Brown was such an incredibly, uniquely dynamic performer. Some of the other biopics that we've mentioned here, like Walk the Line, Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash, he did a great job, but that's relatively easy. You have to be sullen and sing in a gravelly voice, and you can do Johnny Cash. But James Brown, the athleticism, the physicality of it is something that I think would be beyond most actors. So I'm really curious to see how Chadwick Boseman handles that.
Yeah, and Chadwick Boseman, not super well known, but he started another biopic, didn't he?
Well, the Jackie Robinson movie, 42, which a very nice film. He did a good job. So I'm trying to imagine the relatively mild mannered Jackie Robinson versus the very in your face James Brown. I mean,
right.
two very different types of
of characters. So again, this would be a great test for that actor's range.
The director of the movie is Tate Taylor, who had great success with the movie The Help. What are the expectations of Taylor for Get On Up?
Well, I mean, the Help was successful, and James Brown has an enormous audience spanning generations. I mean, I think that anybody who is interested in hip-hop and rap understands the importance of James Brown. You know, people who grew up in the late 60s, you know of him. People who grew up a little earlier know of him. I mean, I think that James Brown, even though he didn't have as many hits probably on the pop top 40 as Frankie Valli, is probably more, you know, multi-generational in his appeal. So this could be a very, very big movie of its kind.
Well, speaking of Mick Jagger having to perform after James Brown, he's a producer on this film. I didn't know that. And he said in a Rolling Stone interview that Chad would be the first to tell you he wasn't a dancer when he started this, but that he worked very hard and apparently learned Brown's moves in 6 weeks.
Well, you have to be a dancer by the end of the process to do this. So there's probably a good amount of film, aside from the Tammy Show, out there of James Brown during his peak years, which actually were, you know, extended quite a long time, I think. So yeah, this is a role that would require intense studying. Any time an actor, you know, portrays a person who is very familiar to the general public for one thing or another, the difficulty in trying to enter, you know, to live in the shoes of that real person, it's not the same thing at all as doing a fictional character. I mean, because whether the character is Richard Nixon in a movie, for example, or James Brown, doesn't matter. People going to see the movie have this idea in their mind of what James Brown or Richard Nixon looked like, what they sounded like, how they moved, and you have to be able to replicate that.
Well, the movie is scheduled to open on August 1st. The movie is due to be released on August 1st. Let's take a listen from the trailer.
Mr. Dynamite, you start the show.
No one else helped me. No one else.
You blew the roof off the place.
I want you to make a record for King.
We breaking new ground every day.
Wow, that'll make me go see it. So tell us about the story that we can see, as far as you know.
I don't know really what the storyline will be, but I'm going to make an educated guess now that in a way it's not going to be unlike Jersey Boys, the story of somebody, you know, coming up in a poor neighborhood and music was his avenue out of that, and you know the problems that come with stardom, the conflict with fellow musicians over money or over the attention that you get. I would be very surprised if any of these elements are omitted from Get On Up.
And let's move on to another movie that's coming out in September, I believe, about Jimi Hendrix. What's the buzz on that one?
Well, if you're going to cast a younger contemporary musician as Jimi Hendrix, you couldn't probably do much better than Outkast's Andre Benjamin in that role. And this, as far as I know, the movie is about Hendrix in his, you know, period of time coming to England, coming to London, immersing himself in the really explosively creative, psychedelically tinged music scene of that place at the time. And, you know, Hendrix at that point was viewed as a fascinatingly exotic figure by British music fans. He became, you know, the funny thing is, of course, Hendrix was an American. He had to go abroad and in a sense, become popular and come back to America then. I mean, there was something going on, a dynamic, especially at that time, that many American music fans really valued what came from Britain more than what came from their own backyard in the late 1960s. So in a sense, Hendrix had to travel to that country, you know, make a splash there and come back to become the star that he became here in America.
Interesting. And the Hendrix estate is very guarded. And his sister, the executor of the estate, wrote in an email that we have made it a point in the media that this movie is not authorized by our family and it has no music written by Jimmy. So how's that going to work?
I guess it's focusing on a story about his life at that time. Yeah, I mean, a movie about Jimi Hendrix without Jimi Hendrix's music seems a little naked, and I think that is going to be a problem for the film. The Hendrix estate has always been, as I'm thinking about this out loud right now, I'm thinking back to other things in the past as far as licensing, you know, videotape or film of performances and issuing albums of previously unreleased material. They have in recent years anyway taken a very protective role on this. And yeah, what does that mean for this movie? I mean, I have a feeling that it's not going to be as interesting a film as it could have been, you know, naked, you know, bereft of the music. But I'm looking forward to a good performance from Andre of Outkast as Hendrix.
And you know, the director of this film is John Ridley, who is a Wisconsin native. He's got a few statues on his mantle.
Yeah, a very nice person too. I met him years ago. He was involved in writing and other things with some great films, 12 Years a Slave, for example. He was involved with the Red Tails movie. So, yeah, you know, he's an extremely talented person, and you know, there's a creative challenge that he's been handed here, I guess. You know, okay, a movie about a famous musician, but you can't use his music. So what do you do with that? I'm very curious to see what he does with that.
Me too. We are talking about some of the biopics that are either out or coming out this summer, including the one coming out in September about Jimi Hendrix, which is... what is that one called again? That one's called All Is By My Side, scheduled to come out in September. Then there is the James Brown biopic, Get On Up, which is scheduled to be released on August 1st. And there's one that's in the theaters right now, Jersey Boys, the story of the music group Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. What did you think of Jersey Boys, if you saw it? Are you looking forward to these others about James Brown and Jimi Hendrix? What are some of your other favorite biopics? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
We are talking about biopics, the ones that are coming out this summer or are out this summer, including the one about James Brown. And we are welcoming your questions for our guests. We're welcoming your favorite biographical motion pictures of the past. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Dave Lurson. He is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express. And let's take some calls. Paul in Middleton is with us. Hi, Paul.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I agree. I hate the term biopic, but I haven't seen the play and I have not yet seen the movie, but I'm looking forward to it as I was born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. So a chance to see a couple of Nicky Norkers make it good in the Horatio Alger myth of the United States. Kind of be interesting. I would say my favorite biopic, if there is, again, I hate the term, is Patton, which I thought was pretty close to portraying the character or the person that was Lieutenant General George Patton. But I'm curious to see if they get the culture milieu of Newark and the whole feel of that city and of North Jersey. Bang on. I'm just curious. I don't trust Californians generally with catching that drift, if you get my picture.
So, Dave...
Well, so I read a review somewhere of Jersey Boys in which the critic pointed out that the Jersey Boys is apparently much of it was filmed in California, and there's one scene where inadvertently there's a glimpse of the California mountains somewhere in the background, towering over Newark or wherever. I did not catch that. I guess I was not looking at the background that closely as I was watching the movie. So maybe there's the San Andreas Mountains looming over New Jersey somewhere for a split second in this film. I would be very, very curious to talk to someone who lived in Belleville, New Jersey, and in that area where the Four Seasons came from during that time period, to see how they feel about the accuracy of how their neighborhood, how their town was depicted. I mean, I guess for somebody who I mean, I've been to New Jersey in modern times, but I wasn't there at the time that this movie takes place. I'm curious to see how well Clint Eastwood did in replicating the real look and feel of the time and place. To me, as an outsider to it, it seems like the way New Jersey probably was during that 1950s, mm-hmm. early 60s era. But if somebody out there lived there during that time and can address that, I'd be very curious to hear their thoughts.
Well, should we come up with a new term for this genre? Now, maybe we were calling it biopics, but I also heard a caller say biopic. These are movies that are biographical in nature, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I don't know who coined biopic. Biopic actually sounds sounds more like an eye procedure or something at the
yes.
eye doctor. I mean, neither of these things really appeal to me. As terms, but I avoid using them. I used to say, biographical
movie,
something of that kind to avoid it. But it's like rom-com for romantic comedy. I don't like that either. That's a silly thing. But I guess critics and industry people out in California coin these things and it sticks. So biopic, we're stuck with it.
Yeah. Well, I'll say now that we are talking about biographical films, and,
okay.
and you can too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Lois in Madison is with us. Hi, Lois. I understand you did see Jersey Boys.
I saw it and I loved it. And one of the Madison papers gave it a bad review. I have a very good friend that's a professor in Milwaukee. He teaches acting, and he reviews movies all the time, and I get his emails. He always rates movies 1 to 10, and he rated Jersey Boys 15. So it's good. And the other thing I liked about it, of course you can tell my age, I like the girls dancing in the end, wearing saddle shoes.
There we go. So you brought back some memories, Lois?
Yeah, a few of them, yeah.
All right, thanks very much. Well, yeah, there we go, the mixed reviews.
Well, 15 for acting on a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, very well-acted movie. Christopher Walken, a very fascinating sort of character actor, plays the local mafia Don. Several people who appeared in the Broadway production of Jersey Boys reprised their roles in the movie. So, I mean, I think that the casting was very well done.
Yeah, we had a caller who just gave up or fell off, who wanted to know if the Janis Joplin biopic will ever happen.
Oh, yeah, so you would be a marvelous subject for when there was kind of a fictionalized, inspired by movie with Bette Midler back in the 1980s, The Rose. I'm vaguely remembering that, but yeah, a real movie, about Janis Joplin. And who would you cast as Janis Joplin? That would be again, not unlike James Brown. I mean, she wasn't as dynamic as James Brown. Nobody was, but. To do Janis Joplin, you really would have to study all of the concert footage to emulate the voice and the particular, presence on stage. This would be a challenging role, I think, and to sing. I mean, to get the sound of the voice. a lot would have to go into doing a good job with that part.
Do you know, I thought that there was an Aretha Franklin biographical film in the works.
Oh, yeah, I've heard something about that. And again, likewise, you know, again, the truly dynamic, unique talent challenge of finding somebody who can fill those shoes as an actor.
Let's go to Don in Albany next. Hi, Don.
Hey.
Yes, what did
I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I have sort of a unique perspective being a New Englander, and I actually, when I was a child at Fairfield University outside of Connecticut, I had a chance to watch the Four Seasons, but what I was going to comment on, two things. One is one of the best bio, if you will, picks ever was Lady Sings the Blues with Diana Ross doing Billie Holiday.
I love that.
I mean, it was, I mean, the range that she did was amazing, but, you know, I had a chance to see Jersey Boys, and, you know, really, I think it was pretty, I thought it was pretty spot on, actually. You know, for being in, I didn't catch the scene with the mountains, but I mean, I was more mesmerized by just, you know, how real it was. So that's
wonderful.
My input.
Thank you very much, Don. And what did you think? Lady Sings the Blues was a good one, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in a long, long time. It's probably one to revisit sometime on DVD or Netflix, but Diana Ross did a splendid job with that role.
And Joe in Racine is with us now. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dave, do you know the film Mishima? I think Paul Mazursky directed it. It's from the early 80s. It's a biopic of a Japanese writer and activist, very controversial guy, right-winger, who tried to conduct a coup of the military, ended up committing
killed himself.
Hmm?
Yes, and killed himself.
Ritual suicide. He had a guy cut his head off while he disemboweled himself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, did you see that one?
No, I know who you're talking about. And there was actually a really good play about Mishima by my colleague here at the Shepherd Express, John Schneider, who was a playwright. He did a play on Mishima that achieved a lot of acclaim in the late 1970s, early 1980s. So, yeah, fascinating figure. I never saw the film, though. I mean, it sounds like something I need to catch up on 30 years late, but
Is there, in our final minute, put you on the spot here, is there a biopic that we, maybe an overlooked one for, that we might want to put on, you know, rent?
Well, I mean, so many of these things depend on what you are interested in as a person. I mean, one of my favorites, which we haven't mentioned here, is Sid and Nancy with Gary Oldham as Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols.
Okay.
He's unrecognizable if you've seen him in recent movies. This is, you know, in the 1980s. And there he was as a very young, cocky, you know, troubled punk rock star of 70s London. I mean, it's a fantastic performance.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dave Lurson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Justin Williams and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.